Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of 505 Down here on Uncle Cardboard's Limited Jamboree, the podcast that has a name that makes no sense. I'm Jake Brown, your host, aka Uncle Cardboard, aka your favorite uncle, and I hope everybody had a great open weekend. I hope that you made day two. I hope you cashed day two. I hope you had fun if you didn't cash day two, if you didn't even make day two, like me, because I spent most of my day in airports, and then I wound up in Detroit. We're on to the next one. It's a new week, new data, and it's a new you, and kind of a new format. I definitely wanted to do something a little bit different. Mike Stein reached out on Twitter and said what I think we were all thinking, which is, hey, there was a lot of noise. We're talking about a lot of noise in this data. And so what I want to do is really talk about what we're learning as opposed to going archetype by archetype, because no one cares if Skywarp Scob fell 8% this week, because of course it did, right? It wasn't that good of a card. Nobody's playing it. There are just these little blips that we should probably ignore. So let's talk about what we're practically learning. Before we dive in, if you want to support the show, it's absolutely free to do so. Just subscribe on whatever platform you're currently ingesting this on. Although now that I'm a Twitch affiliate, it's not free there, but hey, it's free if you have Amazon Prime. That was complicated. If you're also feeling spicy, leave a review. There are no iTunes reviews yet. You could be number one. You could literally just put in first, and I will read that on air. I will give you the credit that you are so worthy of. And as always, if you want to watch live, get the data early, and then participate in the live Q&A afterwards, you just got to go to Twitch. You just have to go to twitch.tv/UncleCardboard at 5 p.m. Eastern every Monday. You can hang out and be in the chat. First, let's get to the meta update. This is pretty cool because we're seeing a little bit of a shift here. I think early on, everybody was all in on Rakdos. Rakdos, Rakdos, Rakdos is the best deck in the format. It rules. It does the worm. Here, what we're finding out is that there's a little shift happening. So, number one, in terms of the last week, just overall win rate, we had Azorius at 57.2%, Izzet at 56.8%, and then Rakdos bringing up that third place spot at 56.3%. So I consider those firmly your tier one decks. I think Azorius really is starting to benefit from people figuring out how they want to draft this color, particularly getting those Nurturing Presences in there, a card that I've been really high on since week one of the format. And building a little bit more aggressively, getting a ton of value out of their graveyards. I don't think the graveyard hate is particularly strong outside of Diagraph Scavenger. So it's just massive value. It's fast. Some games you're just generating a ton of spirits. Other games you're playing a little bit more reactively, countering things after getting some early threats on the board, or just casting a Thirst or Scattered Thoughts and getting way up on cards. So I'm big on Azorius. I'm even bigger on Izzet. And this was another deck that I had called out early as something that's just going to be really punishing if the person's in the right seat. And what I mean by that is that there is a super, super fast deck here when you're looking at Epicures, Lantern Bearers, and then kind of the new hit card in this deck, which is Kessig Flamebreather. This is a card that is going to the moon right now. Everyone's really excited about it because you don't have to be instants or sorceries. It's just counting spell density that aren't creatures, and a lot of people can get there. So I think that Izzet makes particular sense to me, and I would be looking for this deck to maintain one of its top spots. And then finally, we have Rakdos. I've talked about Rakdos at length. I think that other podcasts have covered it enough. This is just going to be the deck that generates the most blood. What I've been noticing is that these decks tend to be over-generating blood, that they just can't spend it all. And so I would remind everybody that if you are in a deck that generates tons of blood, I'm fine with going up to 18 lands. I know that some people are trying to shave lands and go down to 16 in best of one, use the hand smoother to their advantage. I don't think that that's what you want to be doing, because there are games where I'm seeing 8-9 blood tokens pile up and people just can't get on board enough. Either they're discarding lands too early and playing the tokens incorrectly, or they just don't really have the good payoffs for it. So that's where we're at in terms of tier one decks. Tier two, we're looking at Boros at 55.6%, Orzhov at 55.7%, Gruul at 55.5%. They're all just kind of in this next cluster. And then below that, tier three is just literally any other deck. So that's kind of where we're at with the meta. Now let's get to the cards. And we'll start with our five up. Bloodcrazed Socialite is showing its third week of gains in Dimir. And this is a card where I think it's interesting because Dimir doesn't necessarily want to be doing anything with blood. It's not running these blood packages with Ragged Recluse, trying to get cute and really caring about Gluttonous Guest, for example. This seems to be the one card that's the exception to that rule. We're seeing week over week gains. And so when we start to look at why, I think it's because this deck doesn't have a ton to do at four. Obviously, you have Bleed Dry, which is one of the best cards in the format, but you're not trying to run that out on four a lot of times. Like, if you're on the play, you're not answering, you know, whatever they played on three by immediately Bleed Drying it. And Repository Scab, I think, is underperformed for people, mainly that you can't cast it on curve unless you've been doing something spell-wise, which is difficult to do in Dimir before turn four. And so oftentimes you're just kind of sitting there waiting for a good opportunity to cast it. You have maybe a Doom Dissenter, Persistent Skeleton in play that aren't, or Specimen, excuse me, that aren't doing anything for you. So you're like, well, I would love to be able to exploit these creatures. I can't really exploit this for any value yet. Scob, not doing too great. Meanwhile, in terms of just positive things to say about Bloodcrazed Socialite, I think it's a card that gives you a body and something, which is a huge net positive for Dimir decks. You can't just be tossing out bodies that you're hoping to get value kind of over the course of a few turns. The fact that Bloodcrazed Socialite comes down, gives you a blood token, which you can either sacrifice directly to it, so it has built-in synergy, or you can use that blood token to cycle a card in your hand, makes a ton of sense. And I'm buying Bloodcrazed Socialite continuing to show gains. Now, it may just be a fraction of a percent. It may just stabilize right here, but I do think it's a card that you want in your Dimir decks and something that you should be noting. It's playing kind of around the middle of your Dimir common rankings, but I'm in on it. Second card I want to discuss is Pointed Discussion, and that's up 4% in Golgari. It was actually the best Golgari common over the last week. Now, I'm not necessarily buying that. I think it'll ultimately settle around a 55% win rate where this week, let's go and check, let's look at the numbers, let's run it. The number, I mean, it was a 57.2% win rate, which is frankly unsustainable. But I think this really speaks to Golgari not having that identity, as we've said, but needing to refill. When you are a mid-range deck that's hoping to play answers and then just play incrementally better creatures than your opponent, you have to have some way to get card advantage. These decks love a Blood Fountain, and you'll see that pretty much in the top 10 every week as in terms of a value engine for this deck. But it doesn't have a ton of ways to generate blood on its own. And so the fact that Pointed Discussion nets you two cards, nets you, you know, kind of a third card, maybe two and a half, that's where we'll settle on the math, that it's a card that I would want to play more often than not. You're just needing ways to keep up with a lot of the other decks that have very streamlined, synergistic game plans. So Point of Discussion, while not the best common in Golgari, is certainly one that I would be high on in the long term and has been consistently represented as one of the better cards. Next, we'll move on to Witch's Web, which is up 2.5% in Gruul. And that's up to a 56% win rate overall. And after it's been relatively stable, this wasn't a card that was moving a ton, but it's just seeing a little bump. And early in the format, I think Massive Might was what everybody had clearly identified as the best combat trick for this deck. You want that trample to be able to push through damage. That was the line that everybody said. But at the end of the day, I think that what you're really looking for is to get a bigger boost and B, be able to deal with flyers. An Apprentice Sharpshooter is really one of your only ways to deal with getting outpaced by one of these pretty quick Azorius flyer decks. There are so many flyers in this format that I feel like can really take over games. And so being able to have Web as a cool little untap and snatch your flyer is a legitimate play that I think more people should be focused on. Instead of worrying about how you're going to push through damage, your creatures are big enough, your wolves flip eventually if you're doing things right. So don't stress too much about how you're going to make those final points of damage get in there. I think you should be way more concerned about not dying to an aggressive flying start and really surprising your opponent. Because even if you're not playing a Witch's Web, oop, got your flyer, you can get really decent ground threats with this too. It also can give you some really weird attacks, which is always fun for me when your opponent's just like, what's happening here? So Witch's Web and Gruul up 2.5%, something I'm also buying. For our fourth up, we have Kessig Flame Breather going up 3.1%, and is it to a whopping 58.8% game in hand win rate. And it had been trapped around 56% for 3 weeks, give or take. I think this is a sign that the Izzet decks are really starting to hone in on exactly how to abuse this card. Now, there are not an abundance of cantrips here, but I've even heard people talk about Wedding Invitation as a card that they're willing to play, especially if you have a critical mass of Falconwrath Celebrants. That's probably two in your deck. Being able to just toss out a Wedding Invitation, ping them for one with Flame Breather, and essentially draw into, hopefully, one of your Celebrants feels great. And it can help you get through those last few points of damage, the Flame Breather that is, because sometimes this deck can lack a little bit of reach, and those turns where you're just going off with Ancestral Anger, you are casting a Sure Strike, whatever, being able to add an extra point of damage to all of those cards passively is amazing. I think Flame Breather was a card that was initially a little misunderstood because it felt like it played in a spells deck, and a spells deck wasn't necessarily on the table, but between Lantern Bearer and Epicure, where you have a couple one drops that skew very aggressively, that being able to close out a game makes a ton of sense with Flame Breather. And while I don't think it'll stay at 58.8%, I think that it is here to stay. And that's just a sign that these Izzet decks keep getting better and better. So you should be on the lookout for one, especially if you're seeing some of those key commons wheeling, if you're seeing late Lantern Bearers, if you're seeing Epicures, which I think other decks are starting to come a little down on, if you're seeing late Ancestral Angers. These are all signs that you could potentially be in that Izzet deck. Conversely, you need to have a plan for how to beat them. Obviously, if you're an Orzhov, you're going, whoo, you're wiping the sweat off your forehead because you're feeling great about the matchup. And green decks, you want to make sure that you can stick a Flourishing Hunter with something that has toughness out there. Otherwise, you're going to gain two life and you're going to lose. And then finally, our fifth up, and this was one that was a little surprising to me. I would call this our most speculative up of the week, which is a segment I clearly just made up, is Pyre Spawn, and that is up 1.5% in Rakdos, taking it to a 55.3% win rate. Now, I had always looked at Pyre Spawn as like a fringe 23rd playable in this deck, but it's actually rating way higher than that. And this is a card that's actually outperformed something like Fearful Villager, which people tend to take much, much higher than Pyre Spawn. I mean, I think up to three or four picks higher, but it's just outperforming it week after week. I think what Rakdos decks are trying to do is get more aggressive and really not dirtle around with blood and trying to figure out, oh, how am I going to, you know, get the most value out of what I'm doing. I think that they're playing just a faster game. And Pyrespawn can legitimately give you a clock. It's also a nice target for Wedding Invitation if you don't have anything else in there. So, I mean, six to the face, not bad. It just kind of turns your Wedding Invitation into a free lava axe. I don't know how much value that has for people, but Pyre Spawn is definitely on my watch list in Rakdos. Moving to our five down for the week. Let's do our first, let's call our first one Dawnheart Disciple. In Simic, this is down 3.7%. and has 3 weeks now of at or below a 50% game in hand win rate. Donhart Disciple, you are not the two drop we are looking for. I think people are really struggling to figure out what exactly Simic's trying to do. It's not trying to do Donhart Disciples. Let's just get that out of the way right now. I think that you are really struggling if you're in Simic right now. I know that there are better players than me, like Corticalls, for example. Alex has been really up on Simic as a deck. I'm curious to get his opinion on where he stands on Donhart Disciple. I don't know what your ideal 2-drop is in this deck. I don't know if there is one. It's probably Syncopate for one. but I would just stay away from Donhart Disciple until this has evened out a little bit and we have some more definitive data. But, I mean, 3 weeks of either of like 50 and change or sub 50% game in hand win rate is tremendously bad. So I can't give people the playbook on Simic. I haven't been able to find success with this deck. Just know that Donhart Disciple is not your path. All right, let's go to our number four, and that's Hungry Ridge Wolf dropping 4.8% in Izzet to a lowly 49.3%. I think this also just reinforces what we were talking about, that Kessig Flame Breather is really where you want to be in your 2-drop slot, that Fearful Villager is maybe not a card that you're looking to play with, and you're not just playing a lot of Wolves. Ridge Wolf is most of the time just a bear in your Izzet decks, but we're still seeing a lot of these making deck lists. So when I look at Ridge Wolf, it's really hovering around anywhere from 25th to 28th best common in this deck, but I'm seeing it in too many lists. So if I'm you, I'm out on Hungry Ridge Wolf, unless for some reason you just get a critical mass of really great wolves, at which point it can be a filler common. Again, upgrade your Kessig Flame Breathers, downgrade your Hungry Ridge Wolves. Our third down, and this is going to be our deceiving down of the week, Wedding Invitation drops 1.2% in Rakdos to a still amazing 57.5 game in hand win rate. After week one, Wedding Invitation has never posted below a 56.4%. That makes it the fourth best common in this color while also being colorless. It is a really great card. I can't beat the drum any louder for Wedding Invitation, but it should be in every one of your Rakdos decks. I am taking it now above kind of your mediocre like commons, your Blood Petal Celebrants or your the 3-2 Trampler, which is escaping my mind right now. And I am not going to stop and edit it in because this is what you get when you watch the live or listen to it later, apparently. But I think that Wedding Invitation is a card that people should, again, be way higher on, and that it's finally just settling into being one of the best commons. This is no longer noise. This is verified good. Our next down card is Apprentice Sharpshooter. It drops 3% to a 49.7% win rate in Gruul. Now, this is its third straight week down, and I think this really speaks to what we were talking about with Witch's Web earlier, where you have to have something that can answer flyers in Gruul. Apprentice Sharpshooter is not the answer. It's absolutely not. You need to be playing Witch's Web instead, and Apprentice Sharpshooter really doesn't play well in any deck that we're seeing right now. Ostensibly, it's at its finest in a Celestia deck that can really figure out how to put counters on it, as opposed to trying to train it, because training gets really gnarly with it. It's just 1-4 is unfortunately statted. I think you would rather see it at a 1-5 with training, but I'm just taking note, especially in Gruul, that you think that you want this stopgap. Hey, listen, until I can get my larger threats out, let's throw a sharpshooter in this deck and it'll accomplish my goals. It's not accomplishing your goals. And then our final down card, down 4.20%, nice, in Boros, is Lacerate Flesh. Lacerate Flesh is going to finish the week with a sub 50% win rate. that is egregiously bad for removal. But I also want to put in context, this is where this card has lived for the most part. It's never been particularly great. It's had a couple small spikes, but ultimately Lacerate Flesh is way too expensive in this deck. You would rather be getting there with cool combat tricks in Boros. You would rather be playing the litany of cheap removal that is offered to you in cards like Sigarda's Imprisonment, Abrade, Flame Blessed Bolt, Rending Flame, Circle of Containment. These are all cheap options that you have, as opposed to Lacerate Flesh, which is 5 mana for only 4 damage and may sometimes net you a blood token. Not interested in playing it. So where I see things really going wrong is that people are just taking this too early. It is played more than Nurturing Presence, which has a 6% higher win rate and goes 2 picks later. I'm seeing this in the data. Average taken at is around 5, I want to say, and average last seen's at 7. Is that right or is that backwards? It's not great. You basically just need to train yourself off of playing this Lacerate Flesh card. I think it's the ultimate trap, is that you go, oh, well, I'm light on removal. This technically fills a slot. And you tend to have a lower curve in Boros. You're like, why not? You need to preserve that low curve, not toss Lacerate Flushes in. All right, that has been a quick and easy 5 up, 5 down with Uncle Cardboard. Again, subscribe, do the things. It's available all the places throughout eternity. Podcast, YouTube, Twitch. I don't know where else I can put this podcast. Maybe I will type it out and individually mail it to people. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you soon. Good luck in the queues.
Uncle Cardboard's Limited Jamboree is written, edited, and produced by Jake Brown with music by Liquid. Send all inquiries to Jake at UncleCardboard.com and be good to each other.